They slept that night in the truck, and in the morning the rain had stopped, and they unloaded the cart and passed everything under the truck to the other side and reloaded it. Down the bridge 100 feet or so were the blackened remains of tires that had been burned there. He stood looking at the trailer.
"What do you think's in there?" he said.
"I don't know."
"We're not the first ones here, so probably nothing."
"There's no way to get in."
He put his ear to the side of the trailer and whacked at the sheet metal with the flat of his hand.
"It sounds empty," he said. "You can probably get in from the roof. Somebody would have cut a hole in the side of it by now."
"What would they cut it with?"
"They'd find something."
He took off his parka and laid it across the top of the cart and climbed onto the fender of the tractor and onto the hood and clambered up over the windscreen onto the roof of the cab. He stood and turned and looked down at the river, wet metal underfoot. He looked down at the boy. The boy looked worried. He stood and turned and reached and got a grip on the front of the trailer and slowly pulled himself up.
It was all he could do, and there was a lot less of him to pull.
He got one leg up over the edge and hung there, resting. Then he pulled himself up and rolled over and sat up. There was a skylight about a third of the way down the roof, and he made his way to it in a walking crouch. The cover was gone, and the inside of the trailer smelled of wet plywood and that sour smell he'd come to know. He had a magazine in his hip pocket, and he took it out and tore some pages from it and wadded them and got out his lighter and lit the papers and dropped them into the darkness. A faint whooshing. He wafted away the smoke and looked down into the trailer. The small fire burning in the floor seemed a long way down. He shielded the glare of it with his hand, and when he did, he could see almost to the rear of the box. Human bodies, sprawled in every attitude, dried and shrunken in their rotted clothes. The small wad of burning paper drew down to a wisp of flame and then died out, leaving a faint pattern for just a moment in the incandescence, like the shape of a flower, a molten rose. Then it darkened to ash. They camped that night in the woods on a ridge overlooking the broad Piedmont plain where it stretched away to the south. He built a cook fire against a rock, and they ate the last of the morels and a can of spinach. In the night, a storm broke in the mountains above them and came cannonading down country, cracking and booming, and the stark gray world appeared again and again out of the night in the shrouded flare of the lightning. The boy clung to him. It all passed on, a brief rattle of hail, and then the slow, cold rain. When he woke again, it was still dark, but the rain had stopped. A smoky light out there in the valley. He rose and walked out along the ridge, a haze of fire that stretched for miles. He squatted and watched it. He could smell the smoke. He wet his finger and held it to the wind. When he rose and turned to go back, the tarp was lit from within where the boy had wakened. Sighted there in the darkness, the frail blue shape of it looked like the pitch of some last venture at the edge of the world. Something all but unaccountable. And so it was.